To Truth Jihad Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett, bringing you the Truth Jihad over the airwaves every week. And for me, the search for truth, that is what the Truth Jihad really means. It's a struggle, where jihad just means struggle or effort or exertion. And, of course, the first meaning of the word jihad is the struggle, effort, or exertion to be a better person. But, you know, trying to figure out the truth is also a big part of being a better person, because if you're living in a fantasy world, you know, your ethics and morality are naturally not going to line up with reality. Okay, so we're trying to get at the truth here, and as part of the process of getting at the truth, I really like to bring on people with a wide variety of points of view. I like robust, open debate. You know, I'm a big First Amendment fan. Any point of view is pretty much fair game for Truth Jihad Radio. And there are people who have come to me and said, Kevin, come on, you don't really believe in free speech. You wouldn't really have on, say, a Hitler supporter, would you? And I said, well, yeah, sure I would. I mean, you know, in the right circumstances, I would consider it. Well, guess what? Tonight, we're going to be talking about the deep, profound question of, am I unfair to Hitler? I made headlines a few years ago when I was interviewed while teaching a course at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, for which I was using a book I had co-edited called 9/11 in the American Empire, Volume 2. In that book was an essay by me, along with lots of other essays by other people. And in my essay, which I wasn't assigning for the course, I had compared the Reichstag fire, which helped bring Hitler to power, with 9/11, which helped bring the Bush-Cheney regime and what we have today, the Obama regime, whatever you want to call it, to power and burn the Constitution and all of that. I thought these are, you know, comparable events. And so the news media, who were bashing the heck out of me, trying to scare other professors away from getting anywhere near 9/11 truth, interviewed me about this and said, did you really compare Bush to Hitler? And I said, well, no, I didn't. I compared the Reichstag fire to 9/11. You know, comparing Bush to Hitler would be unfair to Hitler, who had at least 30 IQ points on Bush. And this Associated Press writer just kind of gasped. Would you please repeat that? And so I repeated it. And the next thing you know, we had a national news story. You know, University of Wisconsin professor says that comparing Bush to Hitler would be unfair to Hitler. Well, yes and no. Anyway, tonight's show, Unfair to Hitler, will feature Carolyn Yeager. She has her own radio show where she actually, as far as I can tell, she actually kind of likes Hitler. She's kind of a fan of his, because she's always emailing me and telling me that I've been unfair to him. I've made negative references to the Nazis, and she thinks that's unfair, and she catches me in what she thinks are factual errors. And so we've had this little thing going on for a while, and finally I just said, you know, Carolyn, let's just have it out on the air. And I'm really interested in what kind of pro-Hitler argument you can give me. In preparation for this, I went back and read some of my Hitler material here, looked over some biographies, but the two books that I totally reread cover to cover are both excellent Hitler books. The first is a very, very negative look at him, making Hitler out to be a total psychopath, by Robert Waite. It's called The Psychopathic God. And the other is about as pro-Hitler as it gets, among good books, David Irving's Hitler's War. And I read both of those cover to cover, and I'm ready to take on Carolyn when we get back. And then in the second hour, I will debrief with Gordon Duff, editor of Veterans Today, who has his own opinions on these matters and others.
What? What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis, Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central, only on American Freedom Radio.
Okay, we're back. This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, bringing you the all-out Jihad for Truth, bringing on all kinds of points of view. My guest tonight is Carolyn Yeager. She has, as I said, been trying to correct what she's errors in slandering Hitler and the Nazis, as I apparently have down through the years a few times. And she is the host of the Heretics Hour radio show. I guess you can Google that to find it. And I think she would probably qualify as a heretic. Her beliefs definitely cut across against the grain of a certain kind of sacred story that we tell about World War II. Now, I'm just trying to get at the truth. And Carolyn, you were saying that you know everything I said about Hitler in this blog entry introducing our radio show, which is up at my radio schedule page, is wrong. Let me just run that by you real quick, and let's make sure. Okay, here's what I said. Hitler, the plus side of Hitler, he had a great economic policy, quickly got the German economy going. Everybody admits that, including his worst enemies. declared war on the international bankers and freed Germany from their stranglehold, some say, including you, I think. He gave a darn good speech. He was one of the best speechmakers in all of political history. He knew a lot about a lot because he had a very retentive memory. And he was a soft-hearted vegetarian oozing kindness to animals and little children most of the time. Hitler's minuses, okay? He was an uber-racist, obsessed with fantasies about pure Aryan blood. He was an uber-militarist who loved war and struggle, despised peace and tranquility. He staged false flag attacks to seize power and start wars. He promoted hatred and persecution of religious and racial groups, especially a certain group perceived as Semitic or Middle Eastern, which is pretty much what they're doing today, only to a slightly different group. He approved of genocidal colonialism, especially that of the British. He had personality traits suggestive of narcissism and psychopathy, as we read in the Weight biography. He's a total authoritarian, enemy of free thought, smashed people with radically different opinions, and he was a fanatic who was definitely not a friend of balance and the happy medium or juste milieu. Okay, that's my pluses and minuses for Hitler. I'm trying to be fair to Hitler. Where am I wrong?
All right. Well, hi, Kevin, and hello to all your audience. I'm happy to be here and really glad to talk to you finally in real life. So, well, you titled this, as far as I know, we call this, Was Hitler the Good Guy? This is what I want to stick to.
Sure, because I don't think he was. I think he was a terrible guy.
Yeah,
so
obviously.
You think that's unfair.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, I'm so used to, you know, I've been kind of thinking about this program, so now I'm so used to thinking about Hitler as a good guy, I forget that it's a shocking idea to a 99% of the population. So I do recognize that's true. I would say, you said, where are you wrong? Kevin, everything you have said is wrong, absolutely wrong. And I'm, as I told you, I'm shocked that you have put it in quite the way you have. I thought you'd be a little bit more, your list of pluses is kind of cynical in a way, kind of presented in a kind of a cynical way. And let me just start out then with saying what I would. First, when I think about was Hitler the good guy, I'm talking about among Churchill, FDR, Stalin, and then if we think about the French, Daladier, Renaud, De Gaulle, and of course his allies were Mussolini and Tojo, okay. So they were there too.
So you're just talking about comparing the leaders at the time.
Yeah, the leaders of that time, which I think we have to do because that's, you know, if you say, was he the good guy among who? Amongst that group. Because they're considered the good guys, right?
Most of our audience
are considered the good guys, yeah.
Right, yeah, most of them would like FDR, and a lot of them probably still believe that Churchill was brave and, you know, the whole Churchill myth, which I don't buy. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, but still, we have to get. All right, so I'm going to just make my own little list here. I'm going to go through it. And then you can interrupt me if you want, but I'm going to go through it kind of fast, and I could say more about it afterwards. Number one, Hitler was an economic genius for Germany, and FDR was an economic failure for the United States, and he was ruled by Jewish financial interests, and that was basically the difference between the way that one system succeeded and the other, one economic system succeeded and the other failed. Now, two, you said, I would say his speeches were intelligent, straight talking to fellow Germans. FDR and Churchill were meant to, they meant to deceive their citizens. They lied. And there's a fact, I can refer you to an article, How Franklin Roosevelt Lied America into War, which is pretty well, factually, pretty well.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you about that.
Yeah. Okay, Hitler was incredibly more intelligent than FDR and or Churchill. These two were 100% political animals. Both were naval officers, by the way, but that has nothing to do with their intelligence. But not only that, but they had deceitful characters because they weren't very bright and had to depend on their cunning and so on. Number four, Hitler was actually a great humanitarian. He was a strong German trait. He respected nature. He had a connectedness with animals and dogs, more than just liking them. He saw German children as a national treasure in the future. He was a vegetarian because he couldn't stand to eat animals, thought it was a barbaric practice. He passed the world's first protection of animal laws, and in which included how to trap animals and catch animals, and also cooking. No, and cooking of lobster, not how to. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
He was concerned about how to cook lobsters.
Cooking of lobsters, yeah, and how to catch lobsters, and go on. And in a word, he was an advanced thinker for his time.
Okay, well, basically everything you just said is pretty close to what I said for Hitler's pluses. You know, you're just using different language. Let's hear about his minuses. Tell me why he wasn't a racist, militarist, mass murdering wacko.
Okay, all right. He was he was advanced, ahead of his time, and he was above the level of general humanity of his day, and that's one reason why he's so misunderstood. Well, that isn't really the reason, but. Everything about his early life, his military service in World War I, his political struggle years of the 20s, his chancellorship of the 30s, and tells you that there is nothing that says otherwise except fabricated lies and spin. He really did nothing wrong, all right? Now, unless you want to get up to a certain time in history, maybe wartime,
Okay, let me just interrupt you here with the most obvious problem with Hitler that I see. In Mein Kampf, he makes it very clear that, you know, his mission is to restore Germany. Feel that way, just like we understand why the Jews post World War II would want Zionist greatness. Now, because his people have been squashed in World War I. So, you know, he writes that his mission is to restore German greatness, and to do that, what's he going to do? Well, basically, he's got a military project, and he's going to go after Lebensraum and in the East, meaning he's going to conquer and colonize and necessarily subjugate and brutalize the people east of him.
In Mein Kampf, he talks about Lebensraum, the need for, and he talks about that all the time, the need for appropriate space for the German population, because the Germans were after Versailles, they were crowded into too much territory had been taken away from them. And that was what he was working at in the beginning, getting that back. Now, the fact that he talked in 1923, 1924 about this plan for enlarging Germany is a far cry from, 33 he became chancellor, 39 was the Polish-German War, so that was a long way from that ever happening, and that was he never actually undertook that, because the Polish-German War was in answer to problems, border problems, and other problems that were going on between Poland and Germany, which we could go into, and that's what caused that. It wasn't just because he wanted to go and take over Poland. He was trying real hard to negotiate, and the Polish government at the time actually refused to do so based on the advice they were getting from Britain and the United States from FDR.
Okay, Carolyn, there's some truth to that, but I've just gone back and gone over this very anti-Hitler book by Waite and this relatively pro-Hitler book by Irving, which tries to look at it from Hitler's point of view. And even in Irving, it's clear that Hitler's long-term project was big-time conquest and colonization to the east, everybody knew it. And this was going to make Germany, you know, the biggest, most powerful nation in the world.
That's why
Britain and Russia were so scared of him that they realized they were going to have to fight.
Oh, come on. Britain was... Irving is not, he goes further than others, but he doesn't have he's not what you call exactly Hitler friendly, more friendly than the others, but not really Hitler friendly. So what you say is it's exaggerated. It's rather exaggerated. He did not have plans to become the greatest world power. He wanted to be the dominant power in Europe. He did, because he thought Germany was best qualified for that, and that's what they should be. And he wanted to be the dominant power in Europe. He did not. He wanted to be a greater power, I guess you would say, than France, because that was about all the only opponent to that idea. And he wanted to be more on equal terms with Britain. He never wanted to take over Britain, which is shown in the fact that he didn't invade Britain after Dunkirk.
Right. And, well, Irving agrees with that. That's where Irving is really a major revisionist, is he thinks that the British really never had a good reason to fight Hitler, because, as you say, and I think this is probably true, Hitler didn't have any designs on the British Empire. He wanted to keep the British Empire going. But listen, here's a speech, a summary of a speech by Hitler that, let's see, this was a 1938 speech. Here's what Hitler says himself. He says, "There is only one nation on earth, living in the heart of Europe in great compactness, of uniform race and language, tightly concentrated, and that is the German nation, with 110 million Germans in Central Europe. This comparison gives us cause to hope. One day, the entire world must and shall belong to this united bloc of Central Europe." Now, that sounds like a world conquest project, and he actually revised the flag, or the symbol of the Nazi Party in the 20s, which originally was an eagle clutching a swastika, and he revised that to be an eagle clutching a globe. And this sounds just like the global domination project.
Oh, yeah, I know that story. You know, there you are. Hey. Kevin, please, that story, I don't mean to sound that way, but that story is been built up, pushed up. It just means nothing. It means nothing. And he was had no plan to conquer the world. That was propaganda. And FDR pushed that all the time because he wanted Americans to believe that they were under threat of invasion by Germany.
Well, how about dominate
never,
the world? Not conquer, dominate.
No, he didn't want to dominate the world. He, you know, it shows in so many decisions that he made that he did not want to do that. How did he think Germany was going to do that? All he ever wanted was to dominate Europe, and I don't mean dominate in the sense of dictate everything. He wanted to be the dominant power in Europe, and he wanted a European. He had plans for a European association, let's say, of certain Germanic countries, which included many of the ones that were occupied when the war started. And those were the countries that he thought were most in tune with Germany. They were more Germanic, and he thought the Germanic peoples should have the greatest say in Europe because they were the smartest, they were the best. And today, you know, I mean, that's proven out as far as management, as far as
wait a minute, Carol. This idea that the Germans are the best, this leads us to the next problem with Hitler, which is tied in with what I see as his global domination project, which he knew he could only achieve through war, and that's why I think he still deserves most of the blame for this war. But let's move on to the second issue, which is, okay, he thinks Germans are the greatest. This is based on a racist outlook on life. I mean, his whole philosophy was based on racism, was it not?
That was my number eight, which you kind of stopped me before I got to number six.
But okay.
Number eight, Adolf Hitler was not a racist in the way that you're saying. He was a nationalist and a champion for the German people. Any non-white people are perfectly – well, this is a little sidestep, but it's true, though. Non-white people are perfectly okay if they are nationalists and champion for their own people. But if you're white, then it's not okay to do this. Or if you, at least not to say so. So he didn't even believe in the purity of Aryan blood. That's another myth. He knew Germans were a mixed people, and he wanted all. He didn't mean I don't mean mixed that mixed, but you know they were mixed amongst various European strains and so on, including Slavic. And he knew Germans. He knew that he wanted them to see themselves as brothers. He wanted a unified Germany that would stand together. Because Germany had been picked on, beyond picked on. You know, World War One, and what happened afterwards was a tremendous humiliation to the Germans. And this hit Adolf Hitler very hard. It was he was in the war, and he was very patriotic, and he was horrified at what happened. And so his idea was to bring Germany back to a place of respect. And a place of where they were powerful enough, strong enough that couldn't happen to them again. And,
Carolyn, I agree with you about the fact that Hitler was very much obsessed with restoring German pride and German power and all that. And there was a good reason for that. Germany had been very badly treated in World War One and in the Versailles Treaty afterwards.
That's true. Not the least of it. I mean, if badly treated does not even speak to what actually was done to Germany.
Right, and I think that's all true, and that explains how someone like Hitler was able to get as far as he did. But you know, again, you're denying that he's a racist, or call it a racialist if you want. Totally flies in the face of all kinds of evidence, including his own book, Mein Kampf. Like, let me just give you one quote. Listen to this quote from Mein Kampf, okay, and tell me what you think it means. You write, the translation in English is, the mixture of the races is the original sin, or Erdsund, of this world. The sins against blood and race are the original sins of this world. And I mean, you could go on like that for hours quoting.
No, I think that's right. I agree with you that he said those things, and I think there's nothing wrong with talking about however you just put it, blood and race, that people,
the mixture of different races is a sin.
Yeah, if you're a nationalist, you want to keep your nation. Well, we use the word pure. That seems to be a dirty word nowadays. But you know, to keep it intact, to keep it from being changed, to keep it, you know, in a sense of what it's always been. I think that's a good idea for all races and all people. I know that that's the place where we really verge, Kevin. But that does not. It's not an evil idea unless you want to exterminate other people. But if you don't want to exterminate other people, then that's just a point of view that has as much validity as any other.
Right, right. But Hitler clearly was mass killing people, and he was he treated the Polish people. That when the British when the Germans invaded Poland, under Hitler's his ideology, they just brutalized the Polish people. Just the French and the Belgians because of this belief that Slavs were inferior racial beings.
Well, no, that's
okay. We'll be back to argue some more after the break. This is Kevin Barrett. sorry, I hate to cut you off, but we do have an ad coming up. Kevin Barrett talking with Carolyn Yeager, host of the Heretics Hour radio show. She is a heretic. We'll be right back.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this ExtendoVite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Come back. This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, keeping free speech alive on the radio airwaves, even after our Constitution has been torched and burned, thanks to the neocons and their 9/11 Reichstag fire. Oops, I shouldn't call it a Reichstag fire. That's unfair to Hitler. My guest, Carolyn Yeager, says that in various things I've said down through the past year or two, that I have been unfair to Hitler. And she's trying to defend Hitler and the Nazis here. I'm open to any argument. I've gone back and read David Irving's book, Hitler's War, which is a really good book and which looks at it from Hitler's viewpoint and makes a lot of kind of revisionist arguments about, you know, Hitler
had no believed any of them, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay, tell us, Carolyn, what you think. Irving is not sufficiently pro-Hitler. So who is? What sources do you recommend?
Oh, well, you know, I don't actually have them in front of me. I would say you could go to the Mark Weber's Institute of I can't even think of the name.
Is it Institute of Historical Review?
Yeah, I don't think it's Institute, but it's Historical Review.
IHR.
It is, IHR. Right. And you'll find a lot of material there, and then the books will be. But as I've been into more into Holocaust revisionism books here lately.
Somebody sent me an email just now.
I've got this book. The book that Hitler's Private Library. Now, there's a book that will – it's not pro-Hitler at all. None of these books are, hardly, because they make you – but in spite of all that, it gives a picture of Adolf Hitler that's totally different from this idea that he was ignorant, that he was barbaric, that he – this man was a highly intelligent man. Mm-hmm. He read all the time. I mean, he was so superior to FDR and Churchill.
Okay, well, Karen, let's talk about the private library book, because, you know, I just read two books, and the one that's pretty anti-Hitler is Robert Waite's book, The Psychopathic God, and it goes over the books that were found in Hitler's private library, and basically, you know, tears it apart. It says that these are, you know, a lot of trashy books. You know, he's missing all the classics he should have read.
Oh, God.
He's reading
all these trashy books. You know,
these people
just lie. Here's the thing you have to know about Hitler, and I'm sure you do. You know it about your Muslim friends. You know, I don't mean that in any way. It just sounds a little cynical. I don't mean it that way at all. But you know what they're doing. And so this is what they do to Hitler, and no matter what it is, they pretend like it shows him the way they want to portray him, which it doesn't at all. You know, this man, not only did he have a huge library of fine books, that doesn't mean he was reading Henri Dumas or something like that, but he loved art and architecture. He was a very good artist, much better painter and artist than Winston Churchill.
Loved music, big fan of Wagner.
He loved music. He was very cultured, and he was a very talented architect. And he, in fact, the thing that I want to tell you about is his relationship to Hermann Giesler, his architect. Now, I have been translating. I'm sure you probably don't read the Barnes Review, but it's a magazine.
No, I can't say I do.
It's a magazine that has historical. It's a revisionist history magazine. And I've been writing. My articles have been published in there since November, December 2008. And I've been translating with a partner, Wilhelm Mann, a German native German speaker. We've been translating this book that Giesler, Hermann Giesler, wrote. It's called Ein anderer Hitler, Another Hitler. He shows what he intends by that title is to show another side of Hitler. Giesler was imprisoned. He was a National Socialist, too. He was one of Hitler's two main architects, the other being Albert Speer. And he was imprisoned for quite a while, but then they let him go, like they let them all go after a while. They didn't make them serve those long sentences that they. I think he was sentenced to life in prison, but he was released in the 50s. And eventually he wrote his memoir, and we've been making the first English for any translation of it because it's ignored. Why? Well, because he gives a different view of Hitler that they don't want to have out there. Now, he was working continually.
What are his key points
on
city
building projects? Well, I'll just say here. The book shows that Adolf Hitler's greatest desire was never war. He hated war, was to leave a legacy, but he was not afraid of war. I don't mean it that way. He wasn't a pacifist at all. He hated pacifism, too. But his desire was to leave a legacy of city rebuilding for the happiness of the German people, but really for to build up the German nation and make it a wonderful place to live in. And he was adamant that Germany have a position of respect. Well, I've already talked about that. All during the war, the thing that made him happiest was to work on these. They were doing plans on renovating the cities of Munich, Berlin, and Linz in Austria, which was his hometown. These were major renovations, and Giesler was in charge of Linz, and that was Hitler's favorite one, and Munich too. And they were. He would call him to the military headquarters all during the war. And Giesler would spend time after the meetings and after the so on was over, and Hitler had a little free time. He and Giesler would sit and work on these plans together, and he talked to him all the time. And this is what Giesler wrote down in his book.
Right. So Carolyn, I believe that this would definitely show us a different side of Hitler. And actually, this does come through in some of the other books, the standard biographies and so on, that Hitler was an architect, visionary, dreamer, who when he was young had sketched out the rebuilding of entire cities. Very, very bright, very creative person. Yet, let's get back to the we don't disagree on that. Where we disagree is,
he did not want war. This idea that Hitler, you say in your list there that he was an uber militarist who loved war.
Yes,
and
yes.
Say Hitler wanted and worked for peace, and I can demonstrate that. And Churchill and FDR wanted and worked toward war since 1930.
Okay, well, let me just give you a couple of quotes from David Irving, who's a pretty sympathetic Hitler biographer. He says Hitler frankly admired the ruthlessness with which the British had grasped their empire, that is, this genocidal conquest of a huge chunk of the world. Hitler admired that. Then the next page, we have a quote from Hitler, November
David
1938.
Irving.
He says, it was only by harping on Germany's desire and search for peace that I managed, little by little, to secure the freedom of action and the armaments that we needed to take each successive step. And these successive steps include the using military power to create the Anschluss with Austria, to invade Czechoslovakia, to invade Poland, and to invade France, invade Belgium, invade Finland, invade Russia. And, of course, the invasion of Russia, which was the inevitable result.
Russia invaded Finland.
Make them an inferior race working for the Germans was what led him to that idiotic decision to invade Russia, which was his downfall. So his militarism and his racism was ultimately his downfall.
You know why that's wrong? Irving has his interpretation of events. Hitler admired the British, and he admired their empire because he thought they had the ability to administer and to carry out the things that they set out to do. Yes, he was very much a European. He thought the Europeans were the
Europeans had genocidally conquered the entire planet, and he's a genocidal racist
militarist.
Then
every one of them. Then every European is a genocide.
I don't disagree. I agree.
Well,
they are.
Well, I don't.
And Hitler was the worst of them. He was the most exaggerated racist European militarist of all of these leaders, in my opinion.
Okay,
I mean,
let's go back to if I can even remember what you were.
Well, pointing. Let's. Karen, we're going to definitely have, we're going to have to talk about the anti-Semitism angle of this at some point.
Okay, I'm ready for that.
Did he hate Jews or not?
He didn't like them. And let me read you some things. He began not to like Jews when he went to Vienna, basically, and he moved to Vienna when he was still before he was 20 years old. He might have been 16, 17 or so. He might have even been younger on his first trip, because he went there to try to go to school there, and then he didn't get into the school because he didn't understand that he didn't have the proper prior prerequisites for it. It wasn't that he wasn't talented, but now let me give you some figures for what was going on in Germany between the two wars, which affected him, and that was. 66.7% of the General Administrative Council of the German Federal Bank, Reichsbank, and all three members of the Central Council, 100% between 1925 and 1929 were Jews. And before that, in 1925, Jews were, let's just say in 1925, Jews were just 0.87% of the German population, which amounted to 62.5 million at that time. But they controlled just about every aspect of German life. And to go on, I'll try to be real fast.
Well, okay. But he started disliking Jews back 20 years before this.
Well, he started disliking Jews when he was in Vienna. Yes, this would have been in the before the war. But he didn't really know them. He just thought he became a student of.
Well, he was reading these trashy pamphlets that all these pornographic, like, you know, racist blood, don't mix blood, and you know, darker racist crap.
Who says that?
Well,
what do they know what he was reading? He never said he was reading those things, and nobody was with him. I'll tell you another book I like is The Young Hitler I Knew by August Kubizek. It's got an introduction by Ian Kershaw. It's his youthful friend. They became friends in Linz and then continued on in Vienna. They were in Vienna together. And of course, all sorts of crazy things have been said about this fellow and their relationship. They were homosexuals. They were this, and they pick out a couple of things from this book and then make a big deal out of it. But if you read this whole book, you will get you'll find that August Kubizek. Kubizek thought very high. He was in tremendous admiration of his friend Adolf, and they were quite close. And Adolf comes off as a very atypical young person, for sure. He is not like any normal youth at all. And you could make out from that, you probably would, that he was, you know, destined to become a nutcase.
Well, Robert Waite quotes Kubizek extensively, and I think actually quite unfairly. I think Waite is unfair to Hitler in some ways. He's one of these psychoanalysts who take things out of context sometimes. But still, he does make a case that Hitler encountered anti-Semitic pamphlets in Vienna, and that's kind of what got him going in that direction.
But then I can go on. I'm not going to read all this, but there's a whole list here of hugely out of proportion, some more so than ever, like, in 1931, 61% of motion film producers and 53% of directors in Germany were Jewish. I mean, and at the same time, the Germans were suffering terribly, and they were having to sell everything they had to these Jews who were coming in from Eastern Europe with money to buy up. Where did they get this money? I don't know. You know, you can imagine. So there was a real Jewish.
Wait a minute, Caroline. I mean, most Jews make money the same, in more or less the same ways that everybody else does.
No, I'm saying that.
And the fact that they were successful in some of these professions isn't enough to make a rational person hate them.
No. Come on. Germans are not ignorant people. I mean, you have 20. It's the same in the United States today. You know, there. You should recognize. I'm sure you do. That there is too much Jewish power.
Listen, Carolyn. I agree that the fact that there are a vastly disproportionate number of Jewish people in working in key decision-making positions in the U.S. media is a huge problem when it comes to formulating Middle East policy. But this doesn't mean that these Jewish people are bad people. It just means that we need some way to help Americans understand how their news is being slanted about Middle East policy. But the fact that Jewish people happen to get these jobs probably speaks well for their education and being capable, competent people.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. What it speaks of is an intention that goes way, way, way back to take control of areas that they have been allowed to be in and where they're allowed to do what they want, and then they manage to take control. Now, let me read you something.
No, wait a minute, Carolyn.
You've read some quotes, Kevin.
What you're saying doesn't describe the Jewish people I've known at all.
We don't want to argue about that because we want to argue about Hitler. Okay.
Now listen to this.
This is a quote. I bet you don't know this. On April 3rd, 1933. Now, that was 3 months or 2 or 3 months after Hitler became Chancellor of Germany by mutual consent of all parties, you know, of all parties involved, the political parties and so on. He received a telegram from along the following lines. Oops, here's the.
You know, you're going to have to tell us the contents of that telegram when we come back after the break.
Okay.
I'm Kevin Barrett with Carolyn Yeager, who tells me I'm unfair to Hitler. Stay tuned for the contents of the telegram.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and 4 other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Weekday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Radio. Two, one, two, three, four.
This is Truth Jihad Radio. Was Hitler saying give peace a chance? Well, maybe to the British for a while. Today we're giving Hitler a chance. That's right. This is Truth Jihad Radio, where we bring on absolute free speech. The more provocative the opinion, the more interested I am in hearing how you could possibly defend it. Today we're talking about, was Hitler the good guy, with Carolyn Yeager, the host of Heretics Hour radio show. She's a true heretic actually supporting and admiring Adolf Hitler, the most demonized man in our culture. So, Carolyn, you were saying that there was a – you were telling us about a telegram before the break.
Yes, a telegram that the German Reich received to the Führer there. It was just Hitler, just a couple months after he became chancellor in April 1933. And it reads this: the qualified representatives of the undersigned organizations declare to the Reich government that they are determined to implement all possible means of economic and financial reprisals, and specifically to carry out a systematic boycott of German products until all freedoms that have been taken from the Jews of Germany have been returned to them, and until all the rights enjoyed by the rest of the German citizens have been restored to the Jews in full. The document was signed by representatives of the International League Against Anti-Semitism, which was it was basically an international group at that time based in France, the Defense Committee for Persecuted Jews in Germany, the French Committee of the World Jewish Congress, and the Association of Jewish Volunteer War Veterans. Now, nothing much had even happened to the Jews by now. So you know that even as soon as Hitler, they were very opposed to Adolf Hitler from...
What do you mean nothing had happened, Carolyn? Books I've been reading, as soon as Hitler took power, immediately Jews were being banned from all the professions.
Not immediately, but it was planned. Yes, but that didn't happen from all the professions. It took quite a while for all of this. It wasn't until 1938 or so that some of these things took effect. So they were waiting. They were in wait. They were in wait for him, and then it went on to more and more and more. And this.
Okay, so there were two sides of this fight.
International Jewish war against Germany. People say, "Oh, it didn't really hurt anything." Oh, it certainly did. It certainly hurt Germany a great deal. And then there was there's that. Now,
Carolyn, we only have a couple of minutes left, so we should really focus on.
Yeah,
points.
I know.
Okay,
so
there are two sides.
I should recommend a book, please.
Give us a book.
With Hitler to the End by Heinz Linge. That's Hitler's valet, and that's a plain little book about he gives again. His view. He lived with Hitler. He was his valet right up to the end, all those years. And then the Russians got him, and he was in Russia for a few years, and then they let him go. And so he tells his side, and I have not read this book, unfortunately, I should. But supposedly, he's quite honest. He doesn't try to make Hitler into it.
I'm sure on a personal level, the people who dealt with Hitler often did really admire him. I know that's true. His secretaries were with him till the end, and Eva Braun, and all of this. There are a lot of people who admired him at a personal level who worked with him. But in terms of the 40, 50, 60 million people killed in World War II, and specifically, let's get to the question of the Big H, the Holocaust. I mean, I've looked into this issue, and obviously, I mean, I don't see how you can deny that a huge number of Jewish people, as well as people of other in other groups, were killed basically because they were in the wrong group, and this was a result of Hitler's racism, one way or another. I don't care whether you think it was,
it was not,
1 million
it was
or six
not,
million Jews.
No,
either
not,
way, there's still
it was not as a result of Hitler's racism. It was, and I totally dispute your figures and your.
Okay, well, what, tell us what you
said about why it all, why what happened happened, and I dispute what happened, but we already decided, I thought we couldn't get into this. We were going to talk about
we can't solve it, but just
it was caused by the war. It was because of the war. It wasn't because of Hitler's racism. I mean, the fact that people died from the war, and more Germans died than anyone else except for Russians. And the Russians died like they did because of all those Stalin performed all those what do they call those? So, and he just had a whole bunch of people killed. And then also during the war, the Russian war strategy was just to throw all these people at the German troops, and the Germans were just shooting them down like crazy. You know, they just millions and millions of Russian soldiers were just shot down because they just thought they were so expendable. They just threw them at them, you know. They didn't have the best strategy always, but eventually.
Well, look, Carolyn, I agree that Stalin was a terrible criminal, a war criminal, a butcher. Churchill was a terrible war criminal and a butcher. Bomb purposely exterminated German civilians with his
FDR
bombing.
FDR was more responsible for the
FDR
war
was
than
a war
anybody
criminal
else.
And a butcher. Truman was a war criminal and a butcher with atomic bombings. So these guys are all bad news.
Well, why aren't they demonized? You know, now who is the world
I'm
power
demonizing
today?
Right now, I hereby demonize.
You don't count, Kevin. Why doesn't
why don't count?
In the world in the historiography of World War II, why are all these countries and these men seen as heroes or as the good guys? Because this is a good way to end it. The good guys. And only Hitler is the bad guy. And we know at Nuremberg, they planned that out. They were going to present it. They had it all worked out ahead of time. Hitler was going to be blamed for everything. He was the sole aggressor, and they are not blamed for anything. They were the defenders of democracy. So we know that's a big crock of you know what. And so, you know, why then do you keep wanting to hang on to this anti-Hitler stuff?
It's fine if you don't like him, but
what about the rest of them? You need to put the whole thing in balance.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think the rest of them were war criminals and
but why aren't they portrayed that way?
But Hitler was like almost the worst of the lot.
No, he wasn't. I'm just pointing out to you why he was the best.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you, Carolyn. Tell us how to find your radio show.
Well, you go to www.reasonradio.com.
Okay, reasonradio.com.
And my program is on Monday nights at 9 Eastern, but it is archived, and you can find all the archives there. And
okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
Carolyn Yeager. We'll be back with Gordon Duff, another bit of a heretic, although not quite that far out. He's the editor of Veterans Today. We'll be right back.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, called his work a dire prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Leading to remove the old output.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett. Just got done with a very unusual hour with a Hitler supporter, Carolyn Yeager, who says, I am unfair to Hitler. My second hour guest, Gordon Duff, the editor of Veterans Today, most widely read and most provocative veterans publication in the country, thinks that Hitler may not have been exactly the demonized figure that he's been made out to be by popular history. But Carolyn may be a little overly simplistic, too. Let's let Gordon have the whole hour, so let's go ahead and bring him on right now. Welcome, Gordon Duff. How are you, Gordon?
Well, you know, Kevin, intellectually, I'm good for about 12 minutes before we start doing wine reviews and recipes.
Well, you know, we're going to have ads for, I don't know if it's wine reviews and recipes, but we'll have ads for, you know, water filtration units and whatever, and just less than that. So you'll be fine.
I do like that. So now, I did not, for varying reasons, I did not listen to your first hour, and so you're going to have to pick a direction here. You know, I'm conventionally educated as an historian, and you know, I live in Germany part of the time, which is, by the way, to some extent restricts my freedom to speak theoretically. By
That's
law,
right. If you say the wrong thing, you'll be sharing a cell with one of these revisionists.
Yeah. You know, I shouldn't admit, but one of the better known ones is coming to stay with me for a couple of days, and we're going to be. I'm interested in reviewing. Hitler by far is the most interesting figure of the 20th century, and maybe of the last 500 years. You know, John Lennon years ago compared himself in popularity to Jesus Christ. And if any person on earth is better known than Jesus Christ, it's not John Lennon, it's Adolf Hitler. You know, and as someone who spends much of their time in Germany, I've been in dozens of discussions with Germans, and, you know, there were more World War II vets alive years ago. But every discussion heads the same way. Hitler is a crazy maniac. But until, and then they give you a year, 1933, 36, usually it's 37, 38. They said he did a really good job. He put our economy back. He did all of these positive things. And then at some point he went crazy. Now,
right.
The problem you have today in Germany is that no one in Europe, no one in Germany has a reasonable education of any kind or knows anything. And that those that head the other direction, and this is me being prejudicial immediately, but those who consider themselves historical revisionists, sometimes have their own issues about, to me, it's not about whether the Jews were good or bad, or whether the Holocaust was made up or not made up. My interest is, all my life, has been history and archaeology. It's been the most important thing to me. I grew up, you know, after World War II. It's been, you know, we've all had a fascination with war movies, with Hitler, a sick fascination for so many people in the Holocaust, which, of course, you know, now has come under a tremendous amount of attack. But what if everything we knew about Hitler was wrong? And that's, and I didn't hear your first hour, but I,
well, if that's pretty much what she said.
And if it were, that would mean when I started and I read Tolan's book on Hitler, you know, which is hundreds of pages, and everything I've seen and I've heard, everything I've said and even taught others, it would mean that I had that my head stuck somewhere where the sun doesn't shine.
Okay, well, that's the good side of so-called revisionism of any topic, is to make you rethink something. And so we're rethinking everything, including even Hitler, right here on Truth Jihad Radio. We'll be right back with more Gordon Duff.
If you want the best in engine protection and need to go the extra miles between oil changes or worry about your car in the heat, you need AMSOIL, the original synthetic motor oil guaranteed for up to 25,000 miles or 1 year. If you're looking for a twice-a-year oil change, try our lower-cost XL Series 7,500-mile oil. See the whole line of automotive products and support American Freedom Radio at the same time. Just go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. You'll be directed to the store. So for the best in fuel additives, gear oils, innovative greases, just about everything for the fleet, use only AMSOIL. And get there by visiting AmericanFreedomRadio.com and clicking on the link. It's made in America on the shores of Lake Superior in Superior, Wisconsin. Preserve your cars, save fuel, and help American Freedom Radio grow. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
you before. You on my toes. Don't give me that brother, 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 brother.
All right, welcome back. This is Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett, talking right now with Gordon Duff, the editor of Veterans Today, one of the liveliest news outlets, mainly because, well, not just because of Gordon's excellent writing, but he's got a whole group of people there who are doing excellent work. And Gordon, you were saying before the break that what if everything we knew about World War II was wrong? And, well, you know, the myth probably is wrong in the sense that, you know, the sacred narrative of the heroic Allies hanging in there and finally defeating this arch evil villain Hitler and his sub villain Mussolini and so forth is all obviously not exactly an accurate picture of reality. That much we can be sure of, just because sacred stories or myths are just never going to be accurate historical versions. But does that mean that all of the facts that we've been taught are wrong? And if so, how do we know that? How do we find out what the real facts are?
Well, and see, the interesting part, of course, is that all of the history that we know right now is revisionist history, and the historical revisionists aren't revisionists, they're re-revisionists. Everything we know was written essentially out of funded projects between the Ford and Rockefeller foundations after the end of World War II, when it was decided that America needed a dumbing down, that we could have an intellectual class of trained diplomats who went to Ivy League schools, but pretty much everyone else needed to have a Dick and Jane history book. And a Dick and Jane history book had to have black and white characters in it. It couldn't have... For instance, in 1934, it couldn't have a fascist overthrow of the U.S. government called the Business Plot, where the American Legion and Merrill Lynch and the DuPont family tried to have President Roosevelt arrested and tried to put a fascist Mussolini Hitler-type dictatorship in charge of the U.S.
And that's pretty well attested in the facts, right? I mean, that we know that that actually happens.
Well, years ago when I used to teach a class on this stuff, I'd get this, well, it never happened at all. It never happened. And I'd say, yep, it never happened. And if you want to learn about it never happening, go to historychannel.com. And for $19.95, they'll sell you the video explaining how it never happened.
But, okay. yeah, it is amazing, though, because this is, you know, this is so interesting. A coup d'etat came so close to actually succeeding in the U.S. in the 30s. And we never hear about it. I got through high school and college without ever hearing about it.
Well, we're pyramiding here. I've developed this nasty journalism habit of throwing the most obvious stuff out on top and letting the other stuff come before people, you know, have to watch something else. But all of the history that we're dealing with, the idea of the World War II, that 20 million Russians were killed, or... And if I mention the Holocaust and a number in the same sentence, I'm going to be thrown in jail for exercising freedom of speech. And as Fred Tobin often tells me here, there's a reason they've got secrets to keep. And it's for all of us here to have to dance around and admit for some reason that there is a nasty secret about World War II that has caused pressure groups to censor real World War II history. Now, one of the strangest things I ran into a while ago was a coin that had a Star of David on one side and a swastika on the other. And I knew these coins were made, and they were distributed in Palestine. Now, there is a non-revisionist version of history that has the Nazis early on in the 30s, late in the 20s and early in the 30s, working directly, closely aligned with the Zionist revolutionary groups that were opposing the British and French occupation of Palestine. Now, after the First World War, despite the Balfour Declaration, which was an agreement between Lord Balfour and Lord Rothschild saying that Jews would be allowed to move to Palestine as long as they didn't try to create a country named Israel. However, it's been misinterpreted and reinterpreted other ways, and there are reasons behind the Balfour Declaration I guess we should touch on also. But if you look into the 1930s, Germany's looking over at the Middle East, at Britain controlling the Suez Canal, at Britain and France controlling, well, any significant amount of oil in the world was either in the Middle East or Russia, but it was somewhere they were never, ever going to be able to get to it, nor would they be able to get to the trade routes because of the canal. And the only way to threaten the British would be by controlling Palestine. So Hitler, very early on, came to a military agreement with Zionist groups and supported their efforts, not just in the 30s, but entirely through World War II. So at the same time, the Holocaust, in whatever form it was going on, the Zionists fighting in Palestine were closely allied to Hitler. And I know that to be true. That's history that is taught. However, when you have to make a context out of it, saying gas chambers or no gas chambers, and we have to admit there were definitely concentration camps and Jews were definitely taken away, then why were Jews fighting in Palestine, closely allied to Hitler, turning out tons of documentation about it? And, you know, like when I have to explain why the World Trade Center fell down when an airliner hit a building that was thousands and thousands of times heavier, I say, science? I can't do it. Well, this I can't explain. These dots don't connect.
Well, wait a minute, Gordon. Sure they do, because both the Nazis and the Zionists had exactly the same interests, which were to get the Jews out of Europe and into Palestine.
Well, except that every time I look to Abe Foxman, who's become my who is now obsessed with me, he's my new stalker, you know. I think he's got my name on a newsletter that he sends out about twice a day. But
he's hard up for material, Gordon. You saw the film Defamation, right? These guys are sitting around their ADO office, you know, just desperate to try to find anything to make it look like there's actually any anti-Jewish racism going on. And I guess you know, you're about all there is.
Well, and you know, one of the issues, of course, with the ADL is that teaching training classes in high schools for kids how to paint swastikas on things. Anyway, enough of an ad for Abe Foxman, because we have this, I think it's a secret agreement that I choose. I'll give him publicity as long as he keeps giving me some, you know. And,
well, I wish he'd give me some. He never talks about Truth Jihad Radio. You know,
well,
I bring on people who like Hitler. I bring on a Hitler fan. And I still can't get Abe Foxman talking about me.
And you know, I have this thing here as I'm exposed to the revisionist. And I talk to Tobin, you know, Dr. Frederick Tobin. I talk to really all the time. You know, it's a regular call around the house. And I have this embarrassing hole in my education. Now, Ernst Zundel did years in prison for disputing what are taught as the facts about the Holocaust. Now, Ernst is kind of a tough guy and confrontive, but his wife, Ingrid, mm-hmm. has a doctorate in history. Ingrid's a moderate person, but Ingrid, as a child, grew up in the Ukraine in a German, in a German-Russian family, and describes, you know, as a child when the Germans came in. She describes in 1940, late 44 and 45, when she and her family fled. But as more and more people, this is a difficult area in history now because, you know, the Russians are we can make everybody angry here, Kevin. Before we're
all
done,
there's a lot of nastiness going on at that time.
Oh, now, yeah, but by the time we're off this TV show, we're not going to be welcome anywhere. But
well, as long as
what
Fox
is this? What if all those Russians that the Germans supposedly murdered, the 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, 50 million, what if most of them had actually been killed by Stalin? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the points the revisionists make. What if 6 million Germans is the number the Germans use? Now, I've got kids that live over there, and one of the things that a German will tell you is that millions, after the end of the war, millions of German civilians were butchered by the Russians. Germans who were fleeing, that Germans had settled all through Czech, Slovakia, Belarus, the Ukraine, and that they were killed, and in huge numbers. This doesn't fit.
Weren't there massacres in the U.S. POW camps as well that Eisenhower supposedly presided over the murder of starvation of a huge number of German prisoners?
Well, that wasn't not in the U.S. That was in Germany, and theoretically, Eisenhower had ordered that the population of Germany be cut down to, he said, 1,200 calories. He really said 800 calories, which is starvation. And this is one of our, you know, the secret history of World War II things, is that Eisenhower ordered that German prisoners of war be starved to death at the end of the war. And no, we don't teach this at all. You can read about Eisenhower. You can go on the Internet. You can read books. It happened. It's true. The number that's given is up to 1 million people killed, 1 million POWs killed.
Wow.
That Eisenhower ordered it, and we're pretending it didn't happen. Now, is it revisionist history when something that did happen is discussed? Or is it simply truth-telling? Is that revision? Is it revision when we've been lying to people so long and we bring something out? It's revising what? Is revisionism when we revise a lie? Is omission a lie? Is murdering 1 million people and telling nothing about it a lie? I kind of say yes.
Well, these lies are very convenient for the powers that be, because if they have this myth that we are the good guys, we have always been the good guys, we will always be the good guys, we beat the evil Hitler, you know, then they can use that myth to make us do whatever they want, including, you know, go off to war against the Iraqis and the Afghanis and whoever they want, right?
Well, let's talk about Dachau. Tell me what you know about Dachau, Kevin.
Well, Dachau was supposed to be one of those death camps, or at least it originally was, right?
Well, when my Uncle Buford came back from World War II, Uncle Buford served with the 101st Airborne, and his story, and this is a guy who had his feet frozen at Bastogne, his story is that he had helped liberate Dachau, and that he had seen ovens, that he had seen rows of ovens, that he'd seen gas chambers, that he'd seen piles of bodies, mass graves, that he'd seen soap and lampshade and piles of shoes and glasses and all this stuff. And frankly, almost every World War II vet I've run into and was at Dachau when it was liberated. Matter of fact, President Ronald Reagan claimed that he was at Buchenwald when it was liberated himself,
right.
Although it was the Russians that liberated the camp, and that Reagan never served in the military in World War II, he still made that speech.
Well,
during,
you know,
a
Reagan
time
thought
when
he was there at the liberation of Buchenwald, and there are a lot of people who supposedly said they saw that 757 hit the Pentagon, but, you know, I think that just goes to show that people have imaginations.
I've had a couple of long conversations today here, and you know, I sometimes hope we don't have people listen. But one of the earlier ones is I spent 2 hours on the phone with one of the FBI agents who investigated 9/11. And into the conversation, and excuse me for changing the subject on this, but, you know, I know this is a pet subject with you, I mentioned Building 7. You know what he said, Kevin?
What?
That's exactly right.
He said what? Building what?
Yep. And it's a long-time friend, a good friend, and I had to go in, send him things that I'd written, because, and then the Pentagon, of course, we went through that discussion, you know, the 7-5, but my daughter flies planes, and she can fly them that low. Yes, they land. She's going 100 knots, not 500 knots. You fly a plane, I fly a plane. If you get me in a 757 and you want to even fly to Cleveland, and I'm in Toledo right now, I know where East is, and you may even get near Cleveland. I not only won't hit a building, I won't even begin to know how to land. I could probably dump you in the middle of Lake Ontario, but not much better than that, and I'm a pilot. But without getting into too much, let's go back to the
at hitting Chesapeake Bay, I guess.
Well, back to the Dachau issue here. Now, as a good German boy here, I have taken my own children to Dachau. Now, Dachau is a tourist site, and excuse me for abusing that term, but I'm not abusing that term. About 15 miles or so north of the ring road around Munich. It's on a little two-lane road, big ditches, factories on the right side, and as you come in from the west, there's a bus parking lot. You park your car, or school buses are filling that parking lot all day long. You walk along the fence and head in, and you've got buildings, you know, showing what had gone on, a museum display. And then when you walk, probably a quarter of a mile into the back corner, they have the crematorium. Now, the crematorium, instead of being a mechanized oven with, 100 little doors on it, it has one door. It's smaller than a pizza oven. It's got handles, and it will handle a body in about 3.5 hours. One. And the room that was...
They must have quite a few of those to...
No, it's actually the only one is kind of the point. They have a mass grave where the ashes were put from those people who were killed there. And that mass grave is 2 by 2 feet with a steel plate over it. And I can send you the photograph of the stone next to the steel plate, because I visit the camps, and I certainly photograph everything. And I used to do it because I was teaching my kids how bad the Nazis were. And I'm there, and I'm looking at this one-door crematorium. And, of course, if this was 1978 or 1985, there'd be a sign that would say 20,000 people an hour had been put into that oven. Or 20,000 a day, 20,000 people in 20 years couldn't be killed there. And then, of course, I've met people who were in there. Now, here's the question, though. Dachau now, as it's admitted, was opened in 1935 as a prison for political types. And it was certainly never a pleasant place, and I don't believe in the Nazi form of justice, and if they were locking people up, I can't swear they weren't killing them. I can't swear they locked the right people up. Matter of fact, I'd pretty much think that if you looked at most of the people locked up in the world, particularly in the United States, they should be let loose, because I don't have any faith in our criminal justice system, and I've worked in it.
We lock up the most of anybody.
2 million people.
World record. Per capita, I think we're the worst country in the world for locking people up right now. And they're mostly people of color, too. You could make a pretty serious argument that we're imprisoning people on a racial basis here in the U.S. today. Oh, boy. We'll be back in a moment. This is Kevin Durant. I'm talking with Gordon Dupp, editor of Veterans Today.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekday, Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Imagine if everything you do was wrong. Imagine if the World War II history we read in our textbooks is biased. And perhaps more mythological than historical. It doesn't take all that much imagination to consider such possibilities, and we're considering them tonight. My guest this hour is Gordon Duff. He's the editor of Veterans Today. And Gordon, we just got an email from a listener. If other listeners want to intervene, of course, we do have a call-in number here. The number is 402-237-2525. And listener Paul called, or rather emails in, and asks Gordon to discuss the false flags during Hitler's rise to power. I suppose he's talking about the Reichstag fire and then Operation Himmler, which justified the German invasion of Poland. Take it away, Gordon.
Well, the Reichstag fire is, the way it is conventionally taught, and I have no reason to doubt that, is that, a mentally defective Oswald, Lochner, whatever, an MK Ultra type, like the crotch bandit, like the Times Square guy, like the imaginary box cutter bandits that supposedly flew into the Pentagon.
Maybe like this character in Arizona.
Yeah, and that that one of these individuals had been involved in the attack on the or the fire in the Reichstag. Now, as to what the actual story is behind this, first of all, I don't have the expertise, but I do understand that there is a controversy indicating that this individual wasn't involved. There is a standard history which teaches that the Nazis burned it down themselves. There's the Hitler version saying that the communists did it, or the communists and the Jews did it, and that justified martial law. And the revisionist version, of course, is that, you keep changing sides over and over in these things. Now, in 1939, the invasion of Poland was justified because the Germans had taken a group of prisoners that they were holding, dressed them in Polish uniforms, and had used them to stage an attack on a German radio station. And then, of course, their response immediately, oops, somebody attacked a radio station. Let's take the 60 divisions that we accidentally this day have fueled, armed, and sitting on the border with their engines warm and drive them into Poland and deal with this affront.
Well, it sounds like what happened right after 9/11.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I made one of these nasty mistakes that you make as a historian. I spent a period of time reviewing the way David Irving does all of the first-person papers leading up to the invasion of Poland. And when you read the interchanges between the diplomats, the French, the Polish, the Swedes, and the British, you know, all this is being negotiated at the same time that Britain and France are ignoring entreaties from the Soviet Union, and this is going to make for a boring hour if we keep talking about this. But the real hero and the guy that tried to stop the war, and this is part of this stuff you might have heard in the first hour, in reading all the real documents, one guy tried to stop the invasion, tried to stop the war, tried to bring peace, and his name was Hermann Göring.
Really, Hermann Göring, the heroic peacemaker of World War II. I haven't read that in any high school textbooks.
It's not in the high school text. It's what you get if you actually read the interchanges between the diplomats prior to the war. The person who was working closest with the French and the British to bring about a settlement over the issue of Poland was Göring. And the person who is working hardest to bring a close on the difficulty at the time. The other thing that we don't admit is that Poland was being governed not by a democratic government, but it had a government, a military dictatorship with five generals running the government. And these generals believed that they could kick Germany's rear end around because they believed that the British and French would come in and smack Hitler down like nothing.
Well,
and they were being.
She said that the British more than anyone, it was actually the Allied powers, chiefly the British, who wanted the Nazis to invade Poland in order to give them the excuse to go into all out war.
Well, I would like to support that, except the familiarity I have with the British Prime Minister at the time. Neville Chamberlain more or less indicates that he was a very unsophisticated individual from the north of Britain with no grasp of any kind on military affairs, and that when we look at the actual communication, and this belongs in another, you know, in another forum here rather than radio, but pretty much none of that's true, and that's from the cuff. Now, if you were going to have, you know, speak more controversially here, which is kind of our job, we're conspiracy guys.
Right.
You look at David Irving's study, and this is what. Now, David Irving's an interesting guy. During the 60s, David Irving was by far the most respected World War II historian. He's the guy that broke the story on the Dresden bombing, you know, that the U.S. and Britain, for no reason at all, attacked the city of Dresden, one of the most beautiful cities on earth, a city that was filled with refugees fleeing the Russian army, bombed the city to the point of a firestorm, killing 135,000 people, more than the nuclear attacks on Japan, a city that wasn't defended, had no war industries, and it was done, and then, of course, right now some groups say that Jews are responsible, they made the British do it, or it was done for varying reasons. It was done for some very good reason, very bad reason, but it was one of the most inhumane acts, and it was kept secret. The killing of 135,000 people in 2 days of firebombings of an unarmed city filled with refugees was kept secret until David Irving published a best-selling book on it. And since then, he's published 24 of the best and most popular and certainly the best researched books on World War II, and was by far in the 60s and 70s the most popular author. If you went out and bought a book with lots of pictures talking about Rommel and you saw somebody on TV, it was David Irving, the toast of London, in his new Bentley and his neat haircut. until he made a serious mistake.
He's supposedly an evil Holocaust revisionist.
Well, David Irving is not so much a Holocaust revisionist, but David Irving, who speaks and reads German, got a hold of Hitler's personal papers, all of them, his diaries. Nobody else had ever read them. And after going through them, and this you may have heard in the last hour, there was never any indication that Hitler authorized the killing of Jews, the mass rounding up of Jews, or anything involving the Holocaust whatsoever. And upon
That's what Irving writes in his book, Hitler's War, which I just reread, and which is an excellent book. Irving doesn't, in that book, question that the Holocaust happened more or less as we're told it did. He argues that Himmler and the SS, I guess, were doing it kind of on their own, whereas Hitler was apparently, according to Irving, unaware of it.
And for doing that, and it's based entirely on a quality academic study, but for him pointing that out, he challenged the dogma which has been used to create, well, what is presented by Norman Finkelstein and so many others as the industry of the Holocaust. And, of course, you know, when we went to Dachau here, Dachau started out as being responsible for 1.8 million of the Holocaust deaths. It had a sign out there saying 1.8 million people died, that it was a death camp. And then, of course, as time went on, and we became a little less gullible as people, Dachau turned out to be a political prisoner and had some Jews in it, but mostly others. And people died there, but not so many. So Dachau became a prison and was no longer a death camp. And 1.8 million people that died there didn't die there, but we still had 6 million dead, but we didn't decide those 1.8 million had died somewhere else. And this is where Holocaust revisionism comes from, because the 6 million number, which came from Joseph Stalin and nowhere else, the Holocaust, the ideas of the Holocaust, don't come from any Jewish group. They come from Russia. They come from the communists. Then the nastier thing that happened after that is, well, they took Dachau off that list. And all those Americans that said they'd seen the lampshades and the soap and the crematoriums, it turns out they'd all just made it up.
Well,
and
that's great.
Apparently, tons of American soldiers,
all
they'd all invented
historians. Yeah, the mainstream historians now admit that the lampshade stories and the soap stories and so on, the taking fillings out of teeth and these kinds of stories were not true.
Yeah, I used to have a neighbor that owned a German delicatessen, and I used to tease him about this. I said, well, you came to the country in 1947 with nothing but the clothes on your back and a bag of gold teeth, you know, and he'd laugh about that. And, of course, now we know that was a mythology. But when somebody starts lying, if you're a cop and you arrest someone and you're interviewing them and they start lying to you, you don't ever believe them. Well, the other nasty thing that happened, and this is the challenge here, that made the premier death camp of all time Auschwitz. But when people began studying Auschwitz, when they began looking at the documents there, and we were depending on 4 or 5 million or more people having been killed there. As the revisionists say that there's no evidence that there were crematoriums, that there were mass graves or anything. Now, I've walked the site there, and I've walked it in the winter when it's been, you know, just filled with water and snow. And there are areas where I know the Russian government dug up ashes from mass graves that they claim were their prisoners. And there are five, well, in the winter, they're like almost lakes where they were dug up. But when you go through the actual camp of Auschwitz, it's got a swimming pool. It's got pretty nice barracks. It's pretty small. But there is no facility for any of this death camp stuff in Auschwitz. It doesn't look like this. And the more recent in Auschwitz is that maybe 800,000 people died there, and that a lot of them, most of them, weren't Jews.
Well, they now, had to change the plaque. Apparently, they had a plaque saying that 4 million people died there, and at some point, a decade or two ago, they had to change that to say that something like one or two million died there.
I think it's I think the number's down to 800,000 Russians, Gypsies, Jews, and others. Changing phones here. Is this one better?
Sounds fine.
Okay. And then the other scary thing is that German and French students were always trucked over to visit Buchenwald. Now, Buchenwald's got a huge crematorium. It's where they make movies. Sam Fuller's movie, The Big Red One, about the 1st Infantry Division. Lee Marvin and Mark Hamill are in the crematorium, and they're looking for a German soldier running up and down, opening and closing the doors of the crematorium. And what's not brought up here is that that building, the crematorium in Buchenwald, was built in 1947 as a demonstration area about the Holocaust by the Russians. And it didn't exist from the war.
Wow.
But when you ask any student about it, yep, this is where, well, it was, there. Well, and the question we have, here's another one, I guess, and I'm certainly not a Holocaust revisionist. I've got my own reasons here. The idea that the Russian or the Germans were driving around Russia with vans, and they would send soldiers out into a village and collect Jews and load them in the back of a van, and then they would run the van with carbon monoxide, killing the people inside, leaving them nice and pink, and then shipping them back to Auschwitz to have them cremated. Now, here's the question. The Germans that I know about, if they arrived in a village somewhere, wouldn't they just shoot people and leave the bodies around? Were Germans squeamish about leaving bodies?
Well, they did, didn't they? I mean, there is evidence that the German armies in the east shot huge numbers of people and left them lying around pretty much, right?
Well, the only mass grave that we really know of being dug up, for sure, and we're not saying that they more don't exist.
Okay, well, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Extend your life with
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Truth Jihad Radio, and I'm Kevin Barrett. My website is TruthJihad.com, and my guest this hour is Gordon Duff of Veterans Today. Well, Gordon, I just got an email from a listener, Mike, who says that he heard that Churchill at one point said, "History will be kind to us because I intend to write it." Reminds me a little bit of that quote from October 3rd, 2001, in which Israeli Prime Minister Eric Sharon yelled at Shimon Peres, don't worry about what the Americans say. We Jews control America, and the Americans know it. Is it true that whoever controls history and controls the media inflicts whatever version of the story they want on us?
Well, that's sadly, it's to the point where I think of the people I went to university with. One of my roommates taught history at Syracuse and several other universities for 35 years. And we spent a couple of days together here, and we were on the same page, let's say, in 1970. You know, we were anti-war veterans, finishing PhDs. And then years later, his version of history is liberal and progressive. Well, I'm sorry, the liberal and progressive version of history is as delusional as the conservative version of history, because the facts that are used, and Kevin, I know you live in this world more than almost anyone else, it's nothing but mythology. And Hitler, I guess, is a good place to go at it. It's a complex area. Now, if the problem is that we don't have any civility, and if I'm going to talk about something, and the internet is a terrible place where people just rage and act like idiots, because in person, if you do that, I assure you, I'll drop you on your head. You know. Right. On the other hand, if you want to stand in my face and scream about things, and you're making sense, and you're not getting your hands too near the eyes, I'll listen to you, and we'll try to come to some kind of agreement. Well, I'm a Vietnam vet, and a lot of the people I deal with are vets, and we don't all have the same beliefs. Some people are right-wing, some are left-wing, and some are nuttier than hell. But you get us all in a room, we've got something in common, we'll settle down, and we'll decide this is the kind of world we wish we had for our kids. And I've got people, you know, Obama's a socialist, Obama was this, or Nancy Pelosi's plotting that. And I'm saying, aren't these people in the government? We're governed entirely by people. If we were the little kids, we remember ourselves to be on the playground. And we were picking kids to play ball. You and I'd be out playing ball. I'd be batting. You'd be standing behind me, or vice versa. And the rest of these people in government would be jumping rope with the girls, because that's who they are. They aren't us. They'll never be us. They never were us. I don't care if John McCain's a veteran or not. Not as far as I'm concerned. He's never been one of us. That's the spoiled brat of an admiral who arrived in when his plane was shot down. The first thing, take me to a hospital, I'll spill my guts. I'm ready to train your gunners. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Hey, I'll tell you that Americans use germ warfare. Put me on the radio and talk about you and I being on the radio. 32 radio broadcasts bad-mouthing the United States while a prisoner of war. Any of that comes out? Is it in history? No. Is the fact that the presidential pardon in history? No. Does that make us lying snakes?
Those tapes on the radio.
Absolutely.
Are they around?
What we've ended up with, and I, you know, you and I harp about this, and one of the sad things is that that when we're talking about history, we have to talk not just about history, but the media today is defining what history is going to be tomorrow, and we have this, I won't even call it a dichotomy. We can invent a world, call it a trichotomy. We have the mainstream media, which is controlled, as Helen Thomas says, by a Zionist consortium that has invented a history where you have to damn anybody that's a Muslim of any kind or anyone that opposes any of the financial scams going on or the Federal Reserve games that have destroyed the economy of the United States. It's been a systematic conspiracy. We didn't end up in this condition without a lot of people working hard to put us here, I assure you.
Okay, no. You just wrote a great article about the Arizona shooting, suggesting it looks like a possible false flag and reveals just this pattern of lone nuts doing these things. It always turns out that it's false flag, reveals that there is some kind of a secret government working behind the scenes.
Well, I look at this thing in Arizona, and we can look at it superficially, and this is when I'm here talking to my friend in the FBI, and we're talking about 9/11. And I'm saying, you're talking conspiracy theory. You were a cop for 35 years. Why don't you look at this as though you were an FBI agent? Because this is what you did. It's a simple crime. Well, let's take this. Let's take two people and put them in a parking lot at a political rally in Arizona. And you got something here because I've been working on this with a group of people recently. Here's the first thing that's wrong here. The sheriff's department, there were no police cars at a political rally. Standard operating procedure for the police. You show up at the 5:30 a.m. roll call at a police department. And you ask, what is going on in the city today? And they say, there's a political rally. Well, from a counterterrorism standpoint, what is our responsibility for that parking lot? And the first responsibility is to send a canine team and to look for cars that have been left in the parking lot or near that would have bombs. That's SOP. Secondly, we send minimum of 6 police officers to be there. Because of security, that and the fact that if you've got people photographing, you want police officers there to be seen because it justifies your budget. And when you pick them out, the first thing the command officer is going to say, all right, who's not overweight? Who's got a good tie and shoes on? You're the guys that go. That's the criteria. If you've got mounted people, you'll have one or more horses there because if things are filmed, you'll want to have the horses. Well, instead of having 6 cops and a canine unit and a horse, the nearest police car in the middle of Phoenix on a rally with 2 high-profile targets, a federal judge who'd been threatened and a member of Congress who'd been threatened, the closest car was 10 miles away. I'm sorry,
you know,
the chances aren't
like
2 billion.
Jared Lochner guy got awfully lucky. He just, this lone nut just happened to show up at a time when none of the cops, none of the security was there. Funny how it always seems to work that way. Well, hey, it's been great, Gordon, as always. You're doing fantastic work at Veterans Today. Keep it up.
Thank you, Kevin.
Take care. It's Kevin Barrett. You listen to Truth Jihad Radio. My website is truthjihad.com. We'll be back next week, God willing. Till then, have a great week.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, Barron's called his work A Dire Prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Ready to drop the old output.
Engine control is good.
Fire.
Roger, copy.
3, 2, 1.
Engage.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.